And now back to Farmcast Radio with your host, Brian Ulmer.
My guest once again is Colorado State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg. How about this other legislation that's been in the news recently, Jerry, about the apparent attack on animal agriculture down at the state capitol?
Well, there's a number of bills that have been brought forward, none specifically to shut down agriculture yet, but I would say that these are a number of the bills that are the camel's nose under the tent. We're going to start telling you what you can and can't do with animals. We know better how to take care of your animals than you do, and this is the way we're going to move forward. Now, they can say we're doing that with pets now. They can say they're going to do that with zoo animals or exotic animals as well, and using those animals for education and all the rules that they are putting in place for that. It has become a mess, and quite frankly, we know that the first gentleman is an animal rights activist, and this is part of his agenda. So those are things that we're going to have to battle through in agriculture in rural Colorado.
Something that I had thought of over the weekend since reading the Fence Post article that featured you that was written by Rachel Gable in regards to what we're talking about right now. It seems to me like this is an attack on a segment of the U.S. economy, agriculture. How is that not financial terrorism?
Well, it's a very good question, and quite frankly, it concerns me for the entire state of Colorado if you are starting your attack on agriculture when you've already destroyed the number one industry in the state. We have 20% of permits now being issued for oil and gas that we've had in the past. Is the next industry ready to be run out? Agriculture? Or are we going to go ahead and run out the private prisons and those industries first, which seems to also be part of this governor's agenda?
Yeah, that's some pretty bold moves to keep all the prisons shut down. That just doesn't make any sense what they're doing. Where are they going to? Of course, they changed the penalties last legislative session to make felonies misdemeanors, so that maybe they're just not going to put as many people in prison.
That is part of their agenda, is to release more prisoners, put more prisoners back out into the communities that they believe are less, are more suitable to be out in communities to be productive citizens. The problem has arisen that in the prison community, the Department of Corrections, we have asked private prisons to come into this state, build these private prisons so we can help the Department of Corrections. And now, all of a sudden, the state is going, well, thank you for spending all of that capital and those millions of dollars for building the prison, but we don't want you here anymore. And so they made that investment, and so what sometimes happens, and we had it at the prison in Hudson, where you... these companies contract with other states that need help, need place to go with their prisoners. For example, right now, Burlington, the prison in Burlington has a contract with Idaho to bring in prisoners. Well, this governor found out that, by golly, we're not going to let that happen. So they did some things in a bill to stop the prison of Burlington from bringing in outside prisoners. Now, we were successful to remove some of that language, but that is the mantra here, is we don't care if you're a private industry or not. We don't care if we asked you to come here as a private industry and build these facilities. We don't want your industry here. We've seen them do that with oil and gas. We've now seen them try to do that with private prisons. I want to know what business is next. What industry is this governor and this legislature willing to sacrifice in Colorado and run out of the state? And it looks to me like it very well could be agriculture. There's so many things going on in agriculture with regard to animals, with regard to pesticides, with regard to how we farm. Those should be concerning to all of us in rural Colorado. And what I am seeing in rural Colorado is this war on rural Colorado is indeed escalating.
And another item in their war agenda, it seems to me like, is Prop 107, the wolf reintroduction. It seems to me like they're going to try to do an end around, because I'm hearing that there's legislation that's going to be introduced because they might think that Prop 107 is going to fail. Is that why they're doing that in the state legislature too?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. Senator Donovan from Vail has a bill with regard to wolf reintroduction that she is trying to put some sort of limits on it, so that if we already have these animals in the state and there's a certain number, whatever that number is, that we wouldn't bring any more in. But the truth is, that bill keeps changing as we speak. And so I don't know what that's going to look like or how that's going to play out, quite frankly. Either way, in any way, we know that we already have those wolves in Colorado. And we know they will not stay within any border. I'm not sure there's ever a reason to reintroduce a species that you already have here in the state that for some reason will upset the ecosystem and change the way things are done where those wolves are in the community.
What's the latest news and information on conservation easements? Where does it stand?
Oh, my. This is another one of those changing dynamics at the Capitol. Just so your listeners know, we put a working group together a year ago. People on every side of this issue met around the state, discussed the issues, tried to find common ground, and indeed actually found common ground and solutions for the conservation easement issue. Now, their hopes were, when they drafted the bill, and we gave them the authority to draft the bill, when we had hoped that we would be able to find the solution that we could afford. There is currently a cap on the amount that we can spend on conservation easements, but we've never hit that cap. So what they were hoping was, well, let's take that extra money that we have not used in that cap over the last several years and use that to make these people whole and to fix this conservation easement issue. Well, unfortunately, even though there's a cap, there's not a special fund for that money to go to. If that money isn't spent in a year, it is then used by JBC, the Joint Budget Committee, for other priorities of the state. So there's no pool of money out there left for them to use. Actually, interestingly enough, these are tax credits. So all it does is limits the amount of money that can not come in to the state. When you have a tax credit, obviously, that's less money, tax money that comes to the state of Colorado. And that's what is put as part of these conservation easements. So we do not have that money available to be able to make these people whole. So we're working on amendments to try and figure out how we salvage a bill and at least salvage the least cost portion of this bill so that we can make it work. And that is still in progress. I can tell you we passed the bill out of the Senate Ag Committee last week. It's up in front of the Senate Finance Committee in 2 weeks. We continue to work through this stuff. We'll see where it ends up. I'm still cautiously optimistic that we'll get something substantial through. But if it carries much of a price tag, this isn't a priority for the Joint Budget Committee.
Coming up, there's much more of the interview with Colorado State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg.
We'll be back right after these messages. To find out more about Farmcast Radio and catch up on the latest news in agriculture, visit barnmedia.net. With your smartphone, the entire world is at your fingertips. Shouldn't your bank be? First Farm Bank's mobile banking app allows you to check your balances, transfer money between accounts, and even deposit a check simply by snapping a photo. First Farm Bank is accessible 24 hours a day and available right on your smartphone or tablet. And of course, we still have smiling faces that know your name at our locations in Greeley, Sterling, and Yuma. First Farm Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The USDA Farm Service Agency encourages early enrollment in the agriculture risk coverage and price loss coverage programs. The deadline to enroll for the 2019 crop year is March 16th. These programs provide important crop risk protection, so beat the rush by enrolling now. If you fail to enroll by the deadline, then you will be ineligible to receive ARC or PLC payments for the 2019 crop year. Please contact your local FSA office to make an appointment. To find local office information, visit farmers.gov.
The 29th Annual Governor's Ag Forum on Colorado Agriculture will be held February 26th at the Denver Renaissance Stapleton Hotel. Registration is open now at governorsagforum.com. The Colorado Agricultural Leadership Program is pleased to host the forum again this year, along with platinum sponsors Colorado State University and the Colorado Department of Agriculture. This year's theme is Branded Agriculture. The program offers a day full of dynamic speakers and presentations featuring a diverse lineup of agriculture discussions ranging from hemp to media training to stewardship, all branded for agriculture. Register and get more info at governorsagforum.com.
Ag Fact of the Day. Colorado farmers and ranchers contribute $41 billion to our state's economy and employ nearly 173,000 people. This Ag Fact is courtesy of the Colorado Corn Farmers Checkoff Dollars and the Colorado Corn Administrative Committee.
One of the tenets of what we do at Sylvius Financial is we're going to make their risk transparent for them and show them where things are.
The farmer should know at all times inside a Sylvius software or with a Sylvius service person how their insurance is working with their broker.
And so we can help people understand exactly how to use them and make it transparent when they can be applied in what situations.
For more information about Sylvius Financial, call Tracy Tattersall, 303-886-0102, 303-886-0102.